Genesis chapter 4. Thank you for being here. Genesis chapter 4. Sometimes people hurt us. Sometimes people don't do what we hoped they would, and it hurts us. And it's difficult sometimes to forgive people. But what about when God does something you don't like? What about when God doesn't do what we hoped He would? I'm preaching this morning on this thought, learning how to forgive God. Learning how to forgive God. Now, I'll say right quick, God never does wrong where He needs forgiveness in the way that we think of. But there are times that we don't like what God does or how He does His business, and it's easy to get upset at Him. Well, look at a man. I can find several in the Bible that have gotten upset at God. I'll use the first, at least that I know of, verse 3. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering He had not respect. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. I see in these verses a man that didn't like what God did, a man that was hurt and angry, a man holding a grudge against God. So many times we talk about the importance of forgiving others, and we should, and sometimes it isn't easy to forgive those who have wronged us. But what about when we think that God has wronged us? What about when we don't think He's done right, or He hasn't done what we want Him to do? I say first, being angry at God can make you sad. God said to Cain, why is your countenance fallen? He was down. He was sad. He was more than that. He was mad. And being angry at God can make you sad. I promise you, the person that's angry at God this morning is not a person of joy. They didn't skip into the church this morning glad to be here, but they may have come in downfallen and sad and depressed. Being angry at God not only can make you sad, it can make you sick. Now, I don't see this in Cain, but I do see it so many times in all of us. So many times our emotions and our physical man are so closely connected that sometimes we can get so upset about what God has allowed that it brings sickness. There are people, I have nobody in mind. I don't have the ability to discern. I don't have the sense to know, but I do know this. There are people who are sick because they're holding a grudge against God. They don't like how He did what He did. I say, thirdly, not only can being angry at God make us sad and sick, but it can make us stubborn. That's what God said to Cain. If thou doest well, He said, if you'll just do what's right, if you just do what I ask you, but stubbornly, Cain said, I gave my best. I worked hard in the field to produce the fruit. And I brought God the best I had, and He didn't accept it. And He stubbornly said, I'm not going to try any longer. Being angry at God can make us stubborn. It can get us rebellious. It can make us stub up at God. Being angry at God can make you sad. It can make you sick. It can make you stubborn. It can also make you stop. I thought about this. God said to Cain, if you'll just try it again and do it my way, everything will be fine. But Cain said, I'm not trying again. I'm not going to try it. Being angry at God can make us stop. It can put us on the sidelines. It can make us stop serving God, stop loving God. It can do such a damage in our heart if we allow it to linger that we stop serving God completely, the God who saved us, the God who loves us, but we can stop quickly. Being angry at God can make you sad and sick and stubborn. It can make you stop. It also can make you sin. Notice what God says. He said, if you will do right, everything's well. But if you don't, listen to me. Here's what God said. Sin lieth at the door. It has the idea of a wild animal being at the door of the tent, getting ready to pounce on Cain, getting ready to devour Cain. God said, sin is at your door if you don't do the way I said. If you don't like my way, says God, I got news for you. There is no other way. And notice what Cain did. He not only got mad at God, but he got mad at his brother. And he rose up and killed his brother Abel. I'm saying being angry at God can make you sin. It can make us do wrong. It can make us go further from God instead of closer to Him. Could I say this morning that whatever God has allowed to come into your life, you may not appreciate it. You may wonder, why did God allow this to happen? And I understand the humanness of that. But I want to say this morning, listen, God is always righteous. He is a righteous God. I may not understand what He does. I may not realize or can understand why He lets what He does come to my life. I may not understand why He allows things to come into our lives, but I do know this, He is always righteous. He is holy. He is pure. And because of that, I know I can trust Him. Whatever He sends my way, whatever He allows to happen, I know this, I can trust Him because He is a righteous God. He always does right. I say that carefully, but I know it's so, including those things that we are discontent about. He addressed Cain's sin quickly and abruptly. Now, I got a question. Does that mean anytime trouble comes to our lives, it's because of sin? Of course not. We suffer. In fact, sometimes those who are most godly suffer the most. But in Cain's life, it was because of his sin that trouble came. And God said, I cannot let that go. I cannot turn the other way. I am a righteous God, and I must deal with that. Even the discontent in our heart is sin. We need to realize our God will handle that. Our God will not ignore that. Remember the people of Israel? God said, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And the last part of that verse is, which have murmured against me. He says, I know you don't like what I'm doing. But I want to remind you, I am God. And because you have murmured, your carcasses will fall in this wilderness. You will die in the desert you despise. I say our God is always righteous. And that means if I have done something stupid, If I have done something that isn't right, I should not be surprised when I suffer the consequences. If I have made some unwise decisions and it has brought me where I'm at to a place of suffering in my life, I cannot look at God and say, why did you let this happen? I'm the one that caused it. I'm the one that's to blame, not my God. My God is always righteous. He not only is a God who's always righteous, He's also a God who is always right. He is always righteous, but He's always right. I mean by that, whatever has come our way, it is the right thing. But I don't like it, neither do I. It's the last thing I wanted, I understand. But the God who controls it all is always, always, with no exception, right. He has done right. Abraham said, will not the judge of all the world do right? And I say, amen, Abraham. He always does right. And sometimes that means we will hurt. And sometimes that means things will go bad. And sometimes that means the last thing we want will happen. But He's always right. Nobody will ever shake their fist in the face of God and say, you did me wrong. Oh, listen, God always, always does right. That means, I said again, we can always trust Him. Job said it like this, the man who God allowed to suffer more than anyone else on earth other than Jesus, that man said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. I know He's right, says Job. I am hurting. I am hurting. I am hurting. But my God does right, and I will trust Him in my suffering. He always does right. 2 Timothy 3, 2-13 says, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. Even if I'm not trusting Him or believing, He still is faithful. He is still right. Our God is always righteous. Our God is always right. If it's something I did to cause my suffering, it is God's rightness that's making me suffer for my wrong. Got that? But if I have not done something wrong and God has in His wisdom allowed suffering to come to my life, there is a reason for that suffering. So He's still right. Whether I caused it or not, my God is right for letting me face what I'm facing. Our God is always righteous. Our God is always right. I say thirdly, our God is always ready. Notice who made the first move between Cain and God. God spoke first. God took the first step toward a man who was mad at Him. In verse 7, He says, if thou doest well, Cain, if you'll just do right, everything will be all right. God said, we can fix this. It is not unfixable. It is not beyond the hope. There is hope. There is help to be had if you'll just do what's right. I say He's ready to forgive. If you have done wrong, if I have done wrong, and that's brought suffering in our lives, I'm glad there's a God in heaven who says, I am ready to forgive you. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. That means when we realize that we have done wrong and we are sorry for it, there's a God who is close, who is ready to hear our cry and our call. He's not way across the universe saying, we don't have to holler out, God, where you at? God, where are you? I want to be forgiven. I've done wrong. I'm sorry. I want to make it right. God, where are you? and hear silence. Oh, no, the Bible says when you get to that point where you're ready to get right, He's right there beside you. All you got to do is turn to Him. All you got to do is whisper. He's ready to forgive. Cain, now listen, every time we get upset at God, it isn't our fault. Every time we suffer, it's not because we did something wrong, but sometimes it is. In the case of Cain, it was. And Cain's first step was getting right. He could not deal with the suffering until he dealt with the sin. And God was ready to forgive him. He wasn't saying, "Now, Cain, I told you, boy, what I wanted. I told you the offering I demanded, and you didn't listen to me. You got yourself in this trouble. You get out the best way you can." No, no, no. God didn't say that. He said, "Cain, listen to me. If you'll just do right, I'm ready to forgive you. I'm ready for us to get this fixed up. You don't have to go on suffering." And God, who is ready to forgive. I'm glad there's a God this morning. As Brother Mike said, He still loves us. He's still willing. Hey, if our own disobedience and our dumbness got us in the trouble that's causing us to suffer, God says, "I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm ready right now to forgive you, and let's get it straightened out." He's ready. But if it isn't our sin, if we search our heart and He hasn't shown us anything we've done, He is still ready to help you. I tell you what, if you wonder if you have failed God, I got a good solution. I got a way to tell you how to find out. Ask Him. If we have failed Him, I promise you, if we ask Him honestly, openly, and listen, and we're willing to hear His response, if we've done wrong, we ask Him, He's going to show us. Doesn't make a lick of sense. If I have failed God, and He has made me suffer for it, and now He has brought me to the point of contrition, and I am brokenhearted, and I say, "God, please show me what I have done. Please show me how I have failed You." It doesn't make a lick of sense for Him not to tell me, because He sent the suffering to convict me and to change me and where He could forgive me. Now that was Cain's case. But there's times when we're suffering and we ask God and He doesn't show us anything. There are times where God, by His wisdom and compassion and love, lets people suffer because He's got a purpose behind it. There's a reason. We're in a world of suffering, and God's people are not exempt from that suffering. We also will hurt. We also will be brokenhearted. We also will suffer setbacks. And when God allows that to come, I tell you again, He's right in doing it. There's a reason for it. He's ready to forgive, but He's also ready to help. The God who hurts us wants to heal us. The God who has hurt us wants to help us. He wants to give you grace that you don't have to carry you through the day without removing the problem, without removing the trouble, without removing what's bothered us so much. He wants to give us grace to make it through that day, to live through that day with strength you don't have, to give you grace to face that day. Hey, after all, isn't that all we need? I don't need grace for tomorrow. I'm not there yet, but I sure do need grace for today. And the good God of heaven has grace enough for us no matter what we're facing. He's ready. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to give grace. He's ready to give the help you don't have that can help you desperately need. He's ready to give us that love to Him in spite of how He's let us hurt, in spite of how He's let things happen in our lives, in spite of the fact that He didn't answer the prayer the way we wanted, or He let things come that we didn't understand or don't agree with and it hurts us. He's able and willing to help us to love Him anyway. He wants to give us new strength for the next day. I think about the three Hebrew boys. And Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't bow, you're going into the fiery furnace. And they didn't bow. And they're brought before Nebuchadnezzar. And he gives them one more chance to bow before the idol. And here's what these young men said. Listen, in Daniel chapter 3. Here's what they say to Nebuchadnezzar the king. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They just said to Nebuchadnezzar, we just want to let you know that we serve a God bigger than you. Now you mean to harm us? And we have no hope or no help except our God. But we want to serve you. Notice right now that our God is able to deliver us. But they didn't finish there. They continued. And He will deliver us out of thine hand. They said, whatever you do, Nebuchadnezzar, we just want to let you know we're free. Our God's going to deliver us out of your hand no matter which way we go. If He delivers us from the furnace or in the furnace and we go on home to heaven, we all right. I want to tell you this morning, if you're His, you're all right. Everything is okay. I know things fall apart. I know things hurt. I know you're suffering. I know the weight. I want to tell you though, you've got a God bigger than that problem. Here's... start over. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Here's what these young men said to Nebuchadnezzar. Look at me. Look here. They said, whatever you do to me, whatever you do to us, we are still going to serve Him. Look, whatever anybody does to me, they said, I'm still serving Him. Whatever you do, whatever they do, whatever anybody does. And I'll tell you something, a lot of the hurt we face is because somebody did something. And listen, these boys said, whatever they do, we're still serving Him. But that ain't all they said. They are also saying, Lord, whatever you do to me, I'm still serving you. They said, my God can deliver us, but if He doesn't, we're still serving Him. Do you understand the freedom in that attitude? That whatever anybody does, I'm still serving God. Or whatever He does, I'm still serving Him. Man, you talk about liberty. You talk about freedom. Whatever comes my way, I'm still serving God. Get angry at them. Are you kidding me? Get stubbed up. Get mad. Resist. Rebel. Are you kidding me? My God loves me too much. Could have thrown this on before I go on. They did go through the fiery furnace, but they didn't go alone. There was a fourth man in the fire. And they came out, didn't even smell like smoke. Only thing that fire did was burn up the ropes that held them. It burned up what was holding them the whole time. It did good. God wants to do good in our lives. That's why He lets us suffer. Getting mad at them. I may not understand, but I don't want to be mad at them.
He's ready to give you grace, to help you, give you strength you don't have, to make it through another day if He doesn't take the problem away, if He doesn't make everything all right. He's ready to use you. Preacher, you don't know what I've gone through. Preacher, you ain't gone through what I'm going through. Maybe not, but somebody has. And the Bible says that God comforts us with the comfort that helps us. But there's more to it than that. He says, that comfort that I give to you, I want you to pass on to somebody else, because it won't be long you'll find somebody else going through what you've been going through. And they need somebody who understands. They need somebody that can sit down and say, I do know I have gone through this, and I want to tell you, God will help you like He helped me. God wants to use you. I preached a while back, your storm's not just for you, it's for somebody else. That strength that you're getting, that lesson that you're learning, that grace you're experiencing, God wants you to pass that on to somebody else who's struggling with their problem, scared in their storm. God said to Cain, thou will be accepted. It literally means to raise, to elevate. God says, Cain, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. And if you'll do what I say, I will bless you. It's easy to trust God when the sun's shining. Easy to trust God when you feel good. Easy to trust God when you're smiling. Easy to trust God when He does kind of like you want Him to. But what about when He lets the cancer come? What about when He says no to the prayer that means more to you than anything else on earth? What about when that loved one dies? What about when things fall apart? What about when He lets you hurt? What about when He lets the tears come? What about when He lets those long nights of misery and agony come in your life? What about then? Can we still trust Him? The answer is yes. But I got another question. Will we trust Him? Will we say, God, I'm hurting, and I don't want to hurt, but if I need to hurt right now, I want to bow to You. I want You to have Your will. Do a thorough job. Oh, God, don't turn down the heat just because I whine. Oh, God, burn it out, burn it out. Make the gold pure. Get the infirmities out of me. Oh, God, do what You need to do. Do what you need to do. I trust You. I don't want to be angry at You. I don't want to be mad. I don't want to hold a grudge. Oh, God, please, do Your will. Can we still trust Him? Yes. But will we trust Him when the last thing we want to happen on earth comes to our life? When things don't improve, maybe even get worse, when we're facing a lifetime, and we don't see any hope at all of things changing or improving day after day after day after day after day. Can I still trust God then? Yes. Will I still trust God? I don't know. Our life theme should be what Jesus said in Gethsemane. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. He was facing the cross when He prayed that. He was facing desertion from His Father, judgment from His Father, physical and mental and emotional agony like we don't even have any idea how to imagine. But Jesus said to His Father, I can trust You. Not my will, but Thou be done. Somebody here this morning need to forgive God. Not that He's done wrong, because He never does. But you feel like maybe He has. And you need to do what you do with people. You get it right with them. You accept. You surrender. You receive. You mend. I believe there's somebody here this morning who needs to be saved. You need your sin forgiven. And I believe Jesus is speaking to you. I've prayed too much about it. Others have prayed. I believe the Lord is speaking to your heart about being saved, being forgiven this morning, right now.
I'm begging you to come. I believe there's people, I'm honest as I can be, I have nobody on my mind. I am so glad I can say that with a clear conscience. I have nobody on my mind. That life's hard. Sometimes you're tempted to say, God, why in the world? Don't let that turn to hardness. Don't let that turn to anger or bitterness. Submit to it. Yield to it. Your God is always righteous, and He's always right, and He's always ready to forgive, to help, to strengthen, whatever you need. And I'm begging you to come this morning and just talk to God about it. Whatever the need, let's stand together.